Well, if you're not in Hebrews chapter 11, I'd ask you to turn there, and you can also hold your place there if you've turned to Genesis 11 and 12 there, as we'll refer to that, especially Genesis 12. As we're looking at this series, the reality of faith in the context of Hebrews 11, and we know there's times in our lives right where it just doesn't seem like we're walking by faith. We can't always see what God is doing in our lives, can we? And we don't see the little things that God can do through our faith and how He can use our faith. And we learn some great truths about that as we look at Hebrews 11. And Abraham, God calls Abraham to go to a place that he can't see, to have a son that he can't imagine having, especially at him and his wife's age, Sarah's age, so that through him there'll be this great nation. And people will be blessed. And Abraham, of course, we know the story. If you know the story of Abraham, he didn't ever get to see that promised land being his own people and all the people there with his own eyes. But we know God did it. God is faithful. Now, Abraham is probably in the Old Testament the greatest example of faith. That's why in the New Testament he's called the father of faith, used as the example by Paul. Of what justification by faith is all about, that we're justified by believing in God alone and made right with God. Paul uses Abraham over and over. James talks about Abraham being the friend of God and uses the story of Abraham to talk about faith resulting in works all through the New Testament. And in Hebrews, we see that certainly all these different characters have importance that we're looking at. We've seen Abel and we've seen Noah and Enoch. But the amount of time that's devoted to Abraham in the context of Hebrews 11 shows us the significance of the example of him living by faith, Abraham. And we see it in the book of Genesis as well. The great chunk of material from Genesis 12 to 25 that is there devoted to what happened in the life of Abraham. Now, our knowledge of Abraham goes back to the 19th century B.C., Scripture tells us he was a citizen of the city of Ur, and which is Mesopotamia at the time, modern-day southern Iraq. It was an ancient city in Abraham's time, very civilized, kind of the known place of wealth and wisdom, worldly wisdom at that time, with education, an elaborate system of writing, mathematics, business. They've seen in archaeological digs, they've unearthed what seemed to be malls, shopping malls, all these type of things in this area of Ur that Abraham came from. But the writer of Hebrews, of course, is narrowing in a few verses on each of these characters to help us understand what it means to trust in Christ alone and how we persevere in our faith with God. And the writer of Hebrews is seeking to emphasize some key principles again from Abraham's faith in the initial stages in verses 8 to 10 of Abraham's faith. And also the whole picture. What motivated Abraham to persevere as he lived by faith? The initial phase when he first believed and stepped out in faith. And then what motivated him to the very end. And we see that in those last verses. So what encourages us and motivates us to walk by faith as we live in this world for Christ? The first thing that we see in verse 8 of Hebrews 11 is embrace the call of faith. Embrace the call, the journey. The Christian life is an adventure. We're to follow Christ by faith. We look back if we're Christians and remember we're all called by God, by grace, to follow Him. And so this encourages us as we embrace that call. We look back on that call. He says, by faith, verse 8, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as the inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Someone said, faith is not about believing just abstract facts or even just believing theology about Jesus and God. No, it's about believing Him and obeying the call and following Him. Disciples follow Jesus. That's what faith includes. It's a journey. It's an adventure. And we see that Abraham's faith journey began with that initial stepping out in obedience to go where God called him to. He didn't know at that time in Genesis 12, 1 to 9 where he was going. Richard Phillips said, we see in Abraham that faith acts in response to God's call. It's God's initiative, he says. Philip says. It's emphasized at the beginning of the life of faith in Abraham. And that means he was saved not because of something unique about Abraham or special, no, but by God's sovereign choice. There's the grace of God that calls us, and we respond in faith by obeying, even though we don't know all the facts of it. This is what happened with all of us as Christians. If we came to follow Jesus Christ and trust Him. See, think about Abraham. When you know the background, Abraham wasn't seeking God when God called him. His family was in this pagan area. He was an idol worshiper. His family, they worshiped idols in Ur in Mesopotamia. This highly developed civilization with wealth and all types of false gods and polytheism that they had. He wasn't one who was seeking after God. God called him, took the initiative, put his hand upon him, and then Abraham responded in belief. And we need to remember that. I like what somebody said. When Abraham was ready to retire, God said, get ready to aspire. So, you know, he was 75 at this point when he first called Abraham. Abraham obeyed. And he would have never obeyed the call if he had not taken God at his word. Isn't that what Hebrews 11 is all about? We've seen it over and over. You believe what God says. And if he hadn't believed God, there's no way he would have stepped out like this on this journey, not knowing where he was going. But his obedience, someone said, was an outward evidence of his inward faith. And that's the way faith always works. Someone said the life of faith begins when God reveals himself to us. In Abraham's case, it was a divine revelation of some kind where God spoke to him vocally, verbally, and he could hear it. But for us, it will be hearing God's word preached in a Bible study. It'll be as we first come to Christ. It'll be as we grow to, as we read the Bible. Or and when we first came to faith, we saw it in some Christian's life, something different in them. But faith always begins with this, God revealing himself out of grace in our ignorance and our sin. Someone said Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he knew who he was going with. God is with us in all that we do. And difficult questions we have in our life of faith, sometimes they're not as hard when we remember God goes with us in all things. The perfectly loving God who's all wise, our Father, is with us as he leads us step by step. Raymond Brown said, Abraham placed his entire reliance on God, who not only called him, but he knew would guide his steps, meet his needs, prepare his future. We come to Jesus Christ. If you're a true believer here today, we know there's a time when we made that about face turn of repentance and faith, that decisive decision. We see it in Abraham when we're going to turn away and leave what we need to leave to follow God and trust in Him alone. And that's what happened for us as Christians. We turned from our old ways at some point when we got saved, and we continue to live in faith and repentance, don't we? But we turn in that decisive point, trusting Jesus, seeking to follow the Lord and lead the new life that He's called us to live. There was that decisive point when we said we're going to embrace the call and trust in Jesus and live for Him and seek what He has for us. We're not going to trust our own ways. We're going to trust in Jesus Christ and surrender to Him. And I remember in December of 94 when I made that decisive break and turning away from my own way and living for myself to trust Jesus and follow Him and embrace the call. I hope you remember that as well. Well, that's how the life of faith begins, but that's how it continues as well. As we trust Christ and He leads us in putting off the old, as Paul says, and putting on the new, knowing this new life that's so much better. Isn't that what Hebrews has been all about? The better promises in Christ. We continue to seek after what God has for us that's so much better in Jesus. You see, Abraham shows us God's call is always about Him taking us away from the old, leaving the old, to walk in the newness of life in Jesus. To go into new territory as we trust Him, taking steps of obedience, step by step, becoming more like Jesus in character and conduct. You know, they say that this place where Abraham was called to leave, Ur and his homeland, It was a beautiful metropolitan city. At the time, it was where all the wealth of the world was centered at the time. Not only were they caught up in the paganism, Abraham's family, and false worships at that time in Ur, he was also wealthy, successful there. This is what God called him to do, to leave that behind. When he was 75 years of age, and God called him to leave that physical land, to go to a land God would show him later what it would be, he had to leave so many things behind. Physical ties, but also emotional ties, relational ties. Ur, you see, represented what was familiar to Abram. But Haran, in a sense, represented a place of compromise. When they got to Haran, and he said, go ahead and go in Genesis 12 and leave your family. It was where, because his family was still with him, it was easily a place where he could stay, be tempted to stay with them and not leave them behind. I remember when I first came to Christ and I broke free from old ways, old friends. People didn't understand at times why you wanted to live this way, why you couldn't hang with them anymore, why you couldn't do those old things anymore. But God wanted to do new things in us, in me, and teach me in new ways. And the old can get in the way of what God wants to do in showing you the new. So we see that in Abraham. It'd be easy in this situation for Abraham to try to figure out his own way, but he had to continue by faith to trust God, not his own way. Abraham's old home was a pagan place, and those ties were to the old religions of the past, and they would have deterred him if he didn't leave them behind. John MacArthur said it this way: when any person comes to Christ, God demands of him a pilgrimage, a following, away from his old pattern of life into that new life that we have in Jesus. And Abram's faith separated him from that old paganism, heading towards the new life that he had for him. See, the Christian life is not just a matter of putting off the old. Yes, it is that. Not just avoiding certain things, the negative, but it's a positive. It's a passionate pursuit of the new life that God has for us in Jesus Christ. And it involves us, God, filling our lives more and more with all that he has that's magnificent in Jesus Christ. God can't bless us with more and more of what he wants to do in your life as a Christian until you're willing more and more to leave behind the old ways and walk in newness of life and trust him where you are now and step forward in faith into what he's calling you to do. Abraham heard the call of God, but his knowledge of God at that point, though it's limited and the promise was limited, he had to go. He had to leave what he had at that behind. He had to follow God in obedience, or God wouldn't have shown him what was next. He had to take that step. And as we follow Christ more and more, that's what we have to do as well. And we learn more and more that the Lord's ways and what he has for us in the kingdom of heaven and God are so much greater, so much better. You know, some people will say as they go on in their life, well, I'm just the way that I am. You know, I can't change. How could God change my life? You know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You know, people think they're just stuck. But we're not dogs, and God doesn't teach us new tricks. He changes us. He's given us new life. We're new creations in Christ. MacArthur says, as soon as Abraham understood what God said, he started packing. When he got what God had said to him and he knew it was God's call, he didn't hesitate. And that's what we see about the life of faith in Hebrews 11, especially in Abraham. Remember Jesus' first disciples? And he called them to follow him. What did they do? They dropped their nets. They left their boat. They followed him. They didn't know exactly where they were going with Jesus and what they were giving up. But when God calls us to leave behind sin and to follow him more and more in the new life we have in Christ, he always has something much better in store for us. And we've got to trust him. We've got to take that next step. That's what we learned with Abraham. He heard God's voice and he had to step out in faith. And God doesn't speak perhaps in audible ways to us today, though certainly he could do that, but he speaks through his word, doesn't he? And as we seek him in prayer, as he opens doors and closes doors, and we trust him in faith, and we follow his leading, and we have an excitement and anticipation of what God is doing. That's what the Christian life is meant to be, we see in Abraham. joyous, an adventure, as we embrace the call in our lives. And we don't overlook how God uses us as individuals. That's one thing we see in Abraham. Yes, his experience was unique. You'll never duplicate Abraham. But we learn principles about following God as individuals. God, as one man said, we have eyes too much on the many and not enough on the one. We overlook how God can use us, how he's got a journey of faith for each of us. And as his church here, he's called us. And obedience involves taking risks, trusting God. We can't have it all figured out in an agenda and a plan. God didn't give Abraham an agenda of all that was going to happen and the way it would all work out. No, he's given the clear promise of the future inheritance, not when he was in Haran at the beginning of Genesis 12, but once he got into the land. He was told in Genesis 12, I'll make you a blessing. I'll make a great nation of you. Leave. Trust me. Someone said Abraham didn't have a crystal clear plan and vision mapped out where he would be in 5, 10, 15 years from that point. We love to always talk about that today, don't we? Of having your clear map for the church and your plan of where you're going to go and in your Christian life, having all of it all marked out. But he didn't know the whole journey. He didn't know exactly what the promised land in Canaan would be like, but he knew what mattered is that he take the next step. He followed the Lord. I mean, if he had thought about and considered all that could go wrong and what this land would be and what it would all mean, would he have ever gone? No, the goal was to go in the right direction, follow where God wants you to be at that point. You know, the African impala is an animal that can jump 10 feet high, apparently. And if it gets up to fast enough speeds as it can jump distances of 30 feet, this African impala. But in the zoo, you know, they will imprison these animals, these little impalas, with just a 3-foot-high fence and keep it enclosed in that little area. Why? Because they've discovered this animal won't jump to the place it can't see. So they just keep it with that little short fence. And sometimes we're like that, aren't we, in the walk of faith? Well, I can't see. How can I go forward in this, God? You're going to have to give me clarity in this. And we want to have it all evaluated and figured out. And we're afraid to trust God and to do what he's told us to do. And we stay in a way imprisoned by our fears and our doubts. And we're discouraged. And that fear of the unknown keeps us from where God wants to take us and helping us grow in Christ and serve Christ as individuals, as the church. Peter Lewis said in his book, we must learn to march to God's order, to go where he sends us. And even when it takes only a step at a time, we take that step in that time. Are you willing to take that step God has for you now as you follow Christ, now to trust him and obey him? That's faith. You notice you'll see toddlers sometimes when they're learning how to walk. You know, they have to deliberately make every little step. Just one at a time. And what do? When they try to take too many at a time, you see them crashing, falling down. And sometimes we do that in our faith. You know, it's easier to move, as they say, for God to steer a moving car than a parked one. As we get moving, we trust the Lord, but we focus on what he's showing us to do now. And not too many steps ahead, but trusting him where we are. We say, Lord, guide me in this. Show me your truth. Lead me, as the psalmist prayed, in your truth, and go with me. But God doesn't just show us truth in the classroom. He goes out with us into everything in life. And he gives us the strength. Yes, we go out and we act, but in all things we trust him. We depend on him in all that we're doing. We act, but we act out of faith. And we take the step God has called us to do. And we tend to want to say, well, God, if you'll show me more what this means in the future, then I'll go. But God says, no, you go and I'll show you when the time is right. I'll show you what you need to know. Trust me now. You know, if we had all of the plans of what God was going to do in our life when we first believed in Jesus Christ, some of us would have been overwhelmed, right? Overload. We wouldn't know all of the hard things that would be there. Would we have gone? No, God gives us the light just enough along the way to trust him. He's in control. We wouldn't have known all the blessings that were going to come in unexpected ways. The Christian life is one we embrace, a journey of faith and excitement, because we follow this great God like Abraham did. And we know Jesus Christ. And we embrace that awesome call that He's given us. God's call, as He told Abraham, always focuses on what He wants to do through us towards others. You'll be a blessing, Genesis 12 said. To those that bless you, they'll be blessed. Those that curse you, they'll be cursed. Anne Graham Lotz said in her book, Magnificent Obsession, about Abraham, these were radical promises. They were promises to enlarge the scope of his life beyond anything he could ever think. God wants to do that in our lives. He wants to work through us. I mean, when I first came to follow the Lord and wanted to go in ministry, people didn't understand. How is it now that you're changing, Ben? You're not going to do business. You're not going to do what you wanted to do. And now you just want to go learn about God in seminary and you don't know where you're going with it? I say, well, yeah, I didn't really know at the time what it all meant. But I knew the gospel had changed my life. And I had to follow the Lord and take the next step of what He was calling me to do and walk by faith and start taking classes and learn what the Lord had called me to do. And He does that many times in our lives, step by step. That's the first thing we see with Abraham, is embrace the call of faith. Look back on that call. Number two is exercise the life of faith. Face reality by faith. We look up in dependence on God, we learn in Hebrews 11 about Abraham. We exercise faith. We embrace the call and we exercise the life of faith. Abraham obeyed God's call and then he began to follow. But the question brought up here is, what is going to help us persevere over the long run to live the life of faith? You know, there can be exciting times in our faith, especially when we first follow the Lord. But then it's difficult when we've got to live day in and day out and wait on God. And things don't work out the way that we thought that they should. And we go through trials and we've got to live out the faith in this sinful world. Someone said about Abraham, it's not just about learning how to get to the promised land. It was about learning how to live in the promised land. To live by faith. To exercise faith. The call of faith, someone said, is followed by the life of faith. The same principle by which we're first saved causes us to live by faith as saved people. We have to learn, Abraham shows us, how to exercise faith. To face reality. And Abraham's response meant he would stay in this land, though it would never be owned by him, except for a small plot of land that was for the burial of his wife Sarah. That's all in this life that he ever owned of this land, Canaan, the promised land, that God said would be his and his people. That's all he ever saw and all he ever owned. But he had to still live there in it, him and his son and his grandson, though it was inhabited by people who hated God, who didn't follow the ways of God, worshiped their own idols. He lived there as a stranger in a foreign land. Verse 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreigner, as an alien. He was dwelling in tents, not ever having an established place. But just as his son Isaac and grandson Jacob would do, heirs of the same promise, God promised him a land as an inheritance. But by faith, he had to live based on those promises, though he didn't receive them in this life. He trusted God. When Abraham got there, it was inhabited by this idolatrous group of Canaanites and others who didn't know the Lord. And they became enemies because Abraham lived different. He worshipped the one true God. It affected his values. It affected his worldview and everything that he did. But he believed in this one true God, living by faith, though all the promises had not come to pass. He trusted God in those difficulties. And the word really stranger is the idea of Abraham having a dissonance, a sense of not ever fitting in when he was there, though God promised it. He lived by faith. And how can we relate to that? We can't we, as Christians? Because the Bible tells us we live as foreigners in this world, don't we? This is not our home. Someone said, this is like in the scheme of eternity, even if you live 100 years, it's like an overnight stay in a hotel. When you think about the time we spend on this earth in comparison to eternity. Chuck Swindoll tells about being a Marine in America and landing on Japanese soil. He remembers his commanding officer saying this pep talk and said this to them as they about to go on Japanese soil. I want all of you men to remember that for the first time in your lives, you're foreigners. This is not your country. This is not your culture. You're the minority. These are not your fellow citizens. They don't speak your language. They know nothing of your homeland except what they see in you. You're representing the whole of the U.S. It's a picture for us as Christians. We're to live here like Abraham, living as a stranger, living differently by faith, believing God's promises, God working through us to point people to Jesus. Of all the people, James Boyce said, living in Canaan, actually Abraham's existence was the most permanent. He was there for a duration, as God called him, but he was the least attached to the land and to the possessions there because his attitude was different as he walked by faith. He exercised faith. He had a different mindset and lifestyle. And he knew God was going to bless him and use him. But he had to trust him based on the promises. Someone said, as a transient in the land, he had to be patient. He was patient because he lived by faith. The land was promised to him, but he had to be patient all the more because it belonged to other people and he was different. And as he walked up and down that land, as I said earlier, he never owned more than just a little bit of land that he would finally bury his wife Sarah in. But though he didn't possess it, he believed God. He fed his life in his faith on the promises of God, on the word of God, and he had to trust the Lord. I mean, imagine how many times Abraham might have looked out from his little tents when he moved around and yearned for the comforts that were there, that it seemed even these Canaanites and enemies of God had, and how it would have been so easy to be tempted to think back to Ur and how great it was there, to think that he didn't have what others had, to want to settle down. Don't we sometimes in this world want to just give up, you know, just blend in? You know, I know I'm a Christian, but you can't beat them, just join them, you know? But we can't, because we live by faith. We believe in the promises of God. We know what's coming in the end. We can grow impatient with our possessions. Someone said, resentful that we're not like others and want to just give up and give in, but we can't. It's like this old actor that I was reading about. He was a prisoner before he became a famous actor. And they asked him one time, why is it you haven't become a repeat offender and gone back to prison? And you know what he said? James Dutton, this actor, said, well, unlike other prisoners, I never decorated my cell. I never made it comfortable. I never made my prison cell my home. I knew where I was going. I wasn't going back. We can get comfortable sometimes, can't we, in this world, too comfortable, want to make ourselves feel at home. Well, I can't change. It's too difficult. But we've got to, based on God's promises and who we are in Jesus Christ, live out of that reality, our identity in Jesus, not what's said about us around the world. Not what the world says we should be, but who we are in Jesus. Abraham began faith obeying God's call, but he persevered by believing God's promises, feeding himself on those promises, trusting in him, and that's how he was able to stay. Someone said, we pray. We want the right answer next week, don't we? We want it right away. We get frustrated, but we're called not just to a first decisive commitment, but ongoing discipleship, aren't we? To trust the Lord. God doesn't always work things out the way we think he will, but he promises that he will fulfill his promises in and through us in Jesus Christ. And so we trust him. We rest in him. We see, what did Abraham do when he got there? Genesis 12 tells us he built an altar. He worshiped God. Maybe that didn't mean a lot to people that were around him, but as one lady said, this may not have affected the Canaanites at all, but it made a difference, I think, in Abraham's life. It strengthened his faith. He knew who he was in God. And then the third thing as we close is envision the future of faith. Embrace the call of faith. Experience or exercise the life of faith. We look back, we look up, and then we envision the future of faith. We look ahead with assurance. We fix our eyes more and more on what is to come. And that's what Abraham did. This is what motivates us. This is what encourages us in faith. Verse 10. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Yes, though Abraham didn't understand it all, God tells us in Hebrews he had a sense and a vision of what was to come, that God was going to do in Christ and what it would mean for eternity. And he wasn't fixated, though he had his struggles. And all these people of faith were sinful, weren't they? And they had their struggles. But overall, they believed God. And he looked to beyond what was in there in the physical land God promised to what God was going to do for eternity. And doesn't the Bible tell us that? That, you know, Ephesians 1 said, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We've got all these blessings now, but it's still not yet. We still have not experienced all that God's going to give us. We live by faith and we look to the end. And by faith, Abraham realized God was going to build this eternal place that was envisioned by faith. And he would live by faith. And him and his son and grandson there, even though they had trials and they had sin, looking to what that eternal kingdom would mean. And when you live that way, it affects your lifestyle. Down here, it's not true that you can be so heavenly minded you're no earthly good. Really, is it? No, you can be so earthly minded you're no earthly good. When we're fixated and we focus on what God is doing, this is how we're motivated. He lived those long years in that land, not his own, looking forward to the eternal city God was going to build with eternal foundations. God's the designer of it. God is the architect. God's the only one that could do that. And you think about it, there's quite a contrast here, isn't it, between the temporary tents that Abraham was living in and his son and grandson moving around everywhere. That's the way we live as sojourners, don't we, aliens? And also the temporary things that others thought are so permanent in the Canaanites and others. There's a contrast between that and God's eternal city and where we're headed as Christians. He looked ahead. I love the story of this missionary who came home, Henry Morrison, many years ago after 40 years of service in Africa. Nobody seemed to care that he had come back. No welcome. And then apparently at the same time, the president at the time came back. Of course, had a massive fanfare about it all. And he felt in his struggle believing the enemy's lies that what was the point? But he remembers back how the Lord put on his heart at that time, remember, Henry, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. We live by faith as Christians. Abraham was able to remain in the land, have an impact, and remain loosely tied to the things of this life because he looked ahead to that eternal city in the future. MacArthur said, if we look at the things of this world so much, our trials, our troubles and struggles, if we focus on our money and pleasures and power, that only causes us to get absorbed and focused on our sinful flesh and live in that way. But we fix our eyes on what God is doing in eternity. The things of the flesh, they're not of this world, 1 John says, but the man who does the will of God endures forever. Look to the Lord and his values and what he's doing to build his kingdom. As we see in the example of Abraham, it encourages our faith. It helps us to be in this world, but not of this world, to have an impact on those people around us, even when it's difficult. It encourages us because by faith, Abraham knew as he looked to the Lord, God was going to do something much, much better than he could ever imagine or dream of. Even in the physical promised land that God had told him would come, there was an eternal city, eternal work that God would do and was doing even through Abraham as he trusted him in that time. So we've got to build, don't we, on the foundations of the future ultimately. We rest in what Christ has done in the past, but we look ahead to what he's going to do in the future, don't we? We can't, even though it's easy at times, we get focused on our present circumstances and uncertainties. We build on what God has told us in Christ and where he's going to take things. That's where our strength is. That's where our motivation is. Sometimes that'll feel like that's all we've got. But we have that in Christ. And we look to him by faith. We embrace the call, exercise the life of faith, envision the future of faith. The Lord's at work in our lives as Christians, as we follow him as his people. Let's turn to him now as we close.